This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Dzień dobry, I am Kylie from Poland. It's great to have a place like Joy 94.9, where we can talk about trans issues from across the globe on a worldwide wave.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the Worldwide Wave.
This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show. We take you around the country one globe at a time.
You mean around the globe one country at a time?
Yeah, that's it.
Close enough.
How long have I been doing this?
Too long, obviously.
And that there is the voice of Dean.
Indeed it is.
And Paul.
Hello.
And my name is Matt. Now, to quote a famous song, I believe the children are the future. And to that end, changes in LGBT rights in the Pacific region must therefore be in the hands of our youth, which is why young leaders from across the region gathered last week in Sydney for the 2016 LGBTI Pacific Youth Forum.
Why do half of the nations in the Pacific still criminalise same-sex relations?
How are today's youth using social media to get their message through?
What can young people do to access religious leaders as allies for change? Guiding the hands and minds of LGBT youth across the Pacific, tonight we speak with Jazz Dawson, Secretary and Director of Kaleidoscope Australia Human Rights Foundation, the host of the LGBTI Pacific Youth Forum held in Sydney last week, and here's a taste of what you have coming up tonight.
I know that for some of our delegates it was really one of the first opportunities they had to reconcile and openly discuss their sexuality or gender identity with a religious leader, and that's really important because sometimes some of the biggest struggles and kind of cultural issues that people face is this perceived irreconcilability with their religious culture and history and tradition.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
This week we're starting off in France, where thousands of opponents of equal marriage took to the streets of Paris on Sunday under the banner of Demonstration for All.
Sound like an exciting title.
No, you can look forward
probably
to
sounds better in French.
There's a lot of Orwellian language in this particular story, so be prepared. The socialist government legalised same-sex marriage in France, which they called Marriage for All in 2013. Now, the Demonstration for All group...
Demonstration.
Or Demo for All, okay, is it for short, were defending their heteronormative version of the family, and they hope to promote their viewpoint before next year's presidential elections. Organisers of Sunday's protest aim to pressure politicians on the right to agree to repeal the law if they're elected president.
And they came out and they said there were 200,000 people with their placards there.
But the police said only about 24,000 people showed up.
Yeah.
Now, 24,000 still sounds like a lot, but in their heyday, when they did the big protests in February 2014, the protesters numbered 80,000, according to the police, although then the organisers of the demonstration claimed 500,000 attended. So I think the problem with Demo for All is that they might be able to organise a protest, but they're not very good at counting.
It's just a decimal point out, you know.
To throw a few more numbers in, 13 people were arrested after a scuffle at the protest, including 6 topless women from the activist group Femin.
Now, wait for it. They planted their slogan, which was, hate is not a family value. Where did they put it?
On their chest.
Oh, across their chest.
This is France, as you know, with Marianne, the famous, you know, symbol of France, fighting topless at the Bastille, storming the Bastille. So, you know, it is, you know, it's a cultural thing. Now, the protesters marched through prosperous western sections of Paris, waving French flags and the Demo for All movement's blue and pink colours, just like Joy. So, you know, not too good that they've hijacked our colours, and they held signs declaring things like, you know, the usual rubbish, all together for the family, and in 2017 I'll vote for the family, and you know, that sort of thing. Now, demonstrators also spoke out against surrogate motherhood because they don't want gay couples to use it to create a family. Now, equal marriage proponents had pushed for surrogacy to be allowed in the 2013 equal marriage law, but the government decided not to revoke the current ban after seeing those unexpected protests from Demo for All in February 2014.
And so, clearly they're on the wrong side of things, because opinion polls say most French people don't want that law changed.
Yeah, so, oh well, sucks to be them.
Across to Russia now. Russia is going to blacklist a support website for LGBTI people because officials say it violates the country's gay propaganda laws. DETI 404, which is basically means Children 404, is an online support system for LGBT teens in Russia. But the website, and it's a place where the users share their stories about anti-LGBT prejudices in their everyday lives. The group's founder, Helena Klimova, has previously been fined under these quite scurrilous laws, and now the government has cracked down on her website. They have said that it breaches the rules for spreading banned information, like, you know, I want to help you because people are bullying you.
Well, a letter from the watchdog claims, and we quote, information that explicitly promotes non-traditional sexual relations among children, namely homosexuality among boys, lesbianism among girls, and bisexual relationships among children, breaches laws on the protection of children from information harmful to their health and development, which basically is a way of saying if they don't know about homosexuality, they won't be homosexual. Which,
yep.
Yeah, we all know that works.
Across to Indonesia.
A gay couple have been arrested for posting a so-called pornographic photo on Facebook. The two men, aged 22 and 24...
Because that's never been done before?
Obviously not in Indonesia.
Right.
Kissed while shirtless. Ooh. Gasp. In the image.
And that was classed as pornography.
Well, we've got the shirts off.
And the post read, and this is particularly sexually explicit and scandalous, "With my dear lover tonight, may our love last forever." It sounds like a Hallmark card.
It's
not exactly porn, is it?
No, but unfortunately they could face up to 7 years in jail if they're found guilty of posting lewd material online.
And the police released a statement, and I hate them for using one of my all-time favourite words in this context, confirming they'd responded to, and I quote, LGBT pornography in the form of two men canoodling. I love that word, and now they've just tainted it forever.
Pornographic?
No, canoodling.
Can you just see the barrister standing up and reading out the charges in court, and they were canoodling?
Well, I mean, if you've been listening to World Wide Wave for the last 6 months, you know that Indonesia is not a fun place to be gay in at the moment.
No, a huge upswing in anti-gay rhetoric from very high-profile people right across the government, and, of course, religious groups. They're trying to ban gay dating apps. There's a whole lot going on, which we've been tracking. You can find out lots more on our website.
Moving on to Northern Ireland. So are you feeling embarrassed to be Australian because of our government's backwards approach to marriage equality? Sick of your overseas friends laughing at you? Well, Northern Ireland is in the same boat. Now, Northern Ireland is the last place in the British Isles without equal marriage. Scotland, England, Wales, Republic of Ireland, Isle of Man, Jersey and Guernsey have all passed equal marriage legislation.
Who knew there were so many parts?
All progress continues to be blocked in Northern Ireland because of the ultra-conservative ruling Democratic Unionist Party, or DUP, and they've been sneakily using the peace process powers after the Troubles to vet marriage bills despite a parliamentary majority in favour of change. Now, it's not much of news, really. It's not much, but it's a step in the right direction. Sinn Féin is now attempting to resolve the impasse by seeking DUP support for a consultation on the issue, aiming towards an equal marriage bill that all parties can support. We will keep you posted on developments as they come to hand.
And in the Netherlands, a leaflet calling on all religious groups to unite to attack gay people has been distributed to every household in the Western District of Amsterdam.
The German government will formally introduce a law that will raise $30 million to compensate gay men who were tried and convicted for their sexuality.
And in the US, cosmetics company CoverGirl has named Instagram star James Charles as the brand's first male ambassador.
And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hi, my name is Kenneth. I'm from LGBT Denmark. You're hearing me on the Worldwide Wave.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
So a few facts about young people, young LGBTI people in Australia and around the region. There are a large number, estimated to be 34%, that hide their sexuality or gender identity in Australia. And young people 16 to 24 are most likely to hide their gender and sexuality.
Unfortunately, LGBTI young people are still reporting experiencing verbal homophobic abuse, that's 61%, physical homophobic abuse, which is a worrying 18%, and other types of homophobia at 9%, including cyberbullying, graffiti, social exclusion, and humiliation.
I can beat that percentage. 80% have homophobic bullying involving LGBT young people at school, where you'd hope they'd actually be safe.
Now, there are some good signs as well, though, where LGBTI young people at schools where there are protective policies in place are more likely to feel safe. So 75% compared with 45%, another argument for the Safe Schools program to continue here in Australia. And on measures of general health and family cohesion, children basically under 18 with same-sex attracted parents had significantly better scores when compared to the general population on those two grounds, general health and family cohesion.
Australian Marriage Alliance Tick. Won't like that. Now, for other parts of the region, including South Asia and the Pacific, there's little data on young adolescents between 10 and 14 years, despite recent research from other settings that suggests that peer victimisation does begin at an early age.
And similar trends across the Asia and Pacific region where bullying, violence and discrimination being experienced with school one of the drivers.
And unsurprisingly, in many instances, those targeted by this violence and bullying don't seek help because schools have insufficient support or response mechanisms to deal with these issues.
There's also some institutional discrimination, so things like misrepresentation in textbooks, curricula that doesn't reference or that excludes LGBTI people, those sorts of things around the region, which I guess don't get reported on a whole lot.
There is some positive. The Philippines is the only country that's found to be including specific reference to bullying on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity in their national law.
And a thumbs up for Australia as well, the only country found to have addressed intersex status and gender identity through federal or national education policy.
And recently, a few countries, such as India and Japan, have demonstrated a commitment to preventing discrimination by introducing policies that address gender non-conforming learners, which is a pleasantly broad description of people who don't fit into that sort of
box.
Joy 94.9.
We are talking all things youth tonight. Last week, young LGBTI leaders from across the Pacific met in Sydney for the 2016 LGBTI Pacific Youth Forum. Jazz Dawson is the Secretary of Kaleidoscope Australia Human Rights Foundation, one of the great friends of this show, and one of the conveners of the forum. We asked Jazz to explain how the idea of the Youth Forum came about.
Kaleidoscope's main purpose is to look to the region and raise the voices of LGBTI issues and activists. And this forum particularly comes off the back of previous training that we've done with Tongan LGBTI activists earlier this year. More than half of the countries represented at our forum, but many more in the region, still criminalise same-sex acts, many of them based on former colonial laws. And so we felt that there needed to be a regional forum to actually bring together LGBTI activists from the region to network, share their stories, and go forward and engage in LGBTI promotion in their countries back home.
So I guess that begs the question, who actually came? What countries were represented?
Mm-hmm. Well, we had 12 countries represented. I won't list them all, but we had Australia and New Zealand delegates there too so that they can network with the region. We also had people from the Cook Islands, Fiji, Kiribati, Palau, PNG, Vanuatu, Tonga, and a few more. So it was quite spread. We were targeting the South Pacific region, which is also one of the goals with our partner organisations, which are the US Embassy in Canberra and DLA Piper, looking to promote rights, specifically in those countries that really haven't seen a lot of regional or international engagement and support in this area.
In fact, Kaleidoscope's patron, former High Court Judge Justice Michael Kirby, was out in the media saying that Pacific nations were dragging the chain on LGBT rights. What was his message to the young people that he spoke to?
Yeah, so we had the pleasure of having him speak at the opening night of the forum, which we had at the Opera House. And his message was really along the lines of, it takes individual leaders to stand up and make change. And I think that the Pacific is unique. It's not like other regions in the world. And it's not so much, I would say, that it's dragging the chain, but change is happening in a different pattern or a different process than it has in other areas. So, for example, in many of the countries, transgender rights or gender diversity is more accepted or more part of the public culture than sexual orientation and, of course, intersex rights. So his message was about speaking to these young youth leaders and saying, go back, change isn't going to happen without you speaking up and pushing your government to make it happen.
And I guess it was also a chance for young LGBT leaders to share what was happening in their countries. Mm-hmm. What were the key issues or messages that you took away from the young people from across the Pacific region?
I mean, unfortunately, I think there's still a lot of violence and harassment in the region faced by LGBTI people, and just a lot of privacy and silence. I think that LGBTI people, as we know, exist everywhere and have since time immemorial, but there's a real lack of public discussion, and I think that particularly recent tragic events in Papua New Guinea show that often when there are incidences of violence occurring against LGBTI people in the Pacific region, it's something that's a cause of shame or a cause of silence. And what we really need is for it to be spoken about, raised in all different levels of society, and something that we can have good conversations about. And indeed, had the pleasure of having a few really engaging religious leaders come and talk to the delegates about the role that religion can play and the role that religious leaders can play in protecting and promoting LGBTI rights in the region. I think that was actually one of the most helpful and engaging sessions for our delegates.
Jazz Dawson from Kaleidoscope Australia on the Asia-Pacific LGBTI Youth Forum held in Sydney last week. Coming up, we find out what the issues raised by the youth delegates were in advancing LGBTI rights in their countries. This is the World Wide Wave.
Hola, soy Unax Ugalde y estás escuchando la primera y única estación de radio gay y lésbica de Australia, Joy 94.9.
Dear Ditch, hello, this is Rosie Fagan, speaking to you all the way from Belfast in Northern Ireland on World Wide Wave.
It's the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time, and tonight we're talking all things youth, looking at the LGBT Pacific Youth Forum held last week in Sydney. Few messages coming on Facebook. In fact, things went a little bit wild when we posted this story, which is the one where our illustrious Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, said changing the definition of marriage to include same-sex couples would affect every Australian, and it's not just gay people who should have a say on the matter.
Spoken like the excellent barrister prosecuting a case he doesn't believe in that he used to be, not well, like the Prime Minister he is now.
Joe says, yep, it's my business when any straight person who wants to get married too, so I should have a say in that.
Greg said.
Fair's fair.
Greg was quite pithy. Can we unfriend him now?
Thanks, Greg. Kingsley, how is my relationship anybody else's business?
Doug said he really has drunk the Kool-Aid, hasn't he? Straight from Lyle Shelton's spigot. What a gruesome image that brought up.
Brian was much more direct. This man, in quotes, is a disgrace.
Joy.
Jazz Dawson from Kaleidoscope Australia has been updating us on the Pacific LGBTI Youth Forum held in Sydney last week. Religious leaders as allies were the topic, and we asked Jazz how that idea was received by the delegates.
I mean, it definitely wasn't new news for quite a few of our delegates. I think that religion plays such a different role in the Pacific than it does for many people in Australia. So the idea that religious leaders and organisations can be allies is actually something that's quite accepted in many countries. But I know that for some of our delegates, it was really one of the first opportunities they had to reconcile and openly discuss their sexuality or gender identity with a religious leader from their faith background. And that's really important because sometimes some of the biggest struggles and kind of cultural issues that people face with their LGBTI status or identity, is it perceived irreconcilability with, you know, their religious culture and history and tradition. So that was really actually quite a moving session for a lot of people, which was great to see.
Now, you did also mention that half the countries in our region still criminalise same-sex mm-hmm. relations. Mm-hmm. What can this sort of forum do to drive change in that area?
One of the practical things that happened during the forum were we had a few sessions, one on international human rights legal training, so actually arming the delegates with the practical legal skills and knowledge of which international laws to point to when they're arguing for change. We also had sessions on fundraising and grant writing, which is really important. One of the outcomes of the forum will be three US $5,000 grants to actually implement projects in the region and in the respective countries. So often it's a matter of legal advocacy strategies or legal literacy. You know, for example, in the Cook Islands, they actually have draft legislation up at the moment to decriminalise same-sex activities, but that's not necessarily a foregone conclusion. You still need people who are able to engage in those discussions and really publicly fight for their own rights. So that's one of the ways that we're going. But it's also, I think, a lot of the time we focus on the criminalisation of same-sex activity. There's also a broad variety of laws that need to be, you know, engaged with and protected, like anti-discrimination legislation for LGBTI, as well as ensuring people are protected in the workplace, ensuring that they don't face discrimination in healthcare and education. So there's quite a few different advocacy strategies that training and access to funding and the ability to get those yourself or for your own organisation is really important.
Do you think the legislators across this region, given that there seems to be a bit of a lag, they're dragging their feet, do you think they are more inclined to listen to young people, or is it perhaps young people are more networked and louder and aren't going to go away?
Yeah, I don't know whether the Pacific so drastically lags or whether it's more of a Commonwealth issue, but I definitely think that focusing on LGBTI youth is the way to go forward. I think, you know, it was Imam Noor, who is Australia's first openly gay imam, he spoke to us at the forum and he talks about the dialogue around LGBTI rights and particularly in religious environments being held hostage by, you know, our forefathers or foremothers, you know, the older generation, when really it's young people who are best equipped to deal with change and to push for change, and it's those voices that need to be heard, because it's also those are the people who feel discriminatory laws the most. It shuts off their future. It shuts off, you know, their possibilities. So if it is really the young people that we need to advocate for, it needs to be the young people who are leading the way. So that's definitely the sense that we have for this forum. If you want to promote youth rights, you need to be engaging young people in that process.
And it's a pretty safe bet that a youth forum, the topic of social media would have been somewhere on the agenda. Were there any new learnings about what is happening across mm-hmm. the region or what could happen to help progress LGBTI rights?
Definitely. Social media was definitely on the agenda. I think some of the important things that came out of discussions about social and traditional media was the rights that people have in using that and the importance of sometimes protecting your own safety, and making sure that if you need to engage anonymous or, you know, pursue your activism online, to make sure that you're doing that in a way that you're reaching out and connecting with important people, but also protecting yourself in the process. I think that more broadly speaking, it's important for the delegates at our forum, but also in the region for young people, to make sure that they're owning their own stories and getting that out to the people that they want to hear it. So social media is a really important way of doing that and controlling and owning your own story.
So you've imparted your knowledge and I'm guessing a fair whack of inspiration as well, looking at the speakers list that was there, which is a fantastic lineup, and congratulations to you. What is next for these young people, and I guess what is Kaleidoscope's next step from here?
We have three grants that are about to be opened up to our delegates to apply for. And those grants will specifically be for LGBTI rights promotion projects in the region. So we're really excited to see the applications that come through. The main goal is to get the delegates and young LGBTI people in the region networking and collaborating, helping them access international and regional and domestic funding to actually drive their own projects, of which there's already amazing, amazing projects happening in this space in the region. I mean, from our perspective also, we're really trying to push engagement from Australian and New Zealand young LGBTI people, but also LGBTI organisations, kind of turn our focus to the region as well and see how much of our resources and access to funding we can start sharing to make sure that that happens.
It's a sensational initiative, and congratulations to you and Kaleidoscope for putting it together. Jazz Dawson, the Secretary and Director of Kaleidoscope Australia Human Rights Foundation, thanks for joining us on Worldwide Wave.
Thanks so much.
And I do like the approach that Kaleidoscope takes, and I know there's different approaches you can take in making change, but their approach has always been to not to come into a country and tell them what to do, but to work with the local communities to empower them to speak up.
Always.
And I think running a forum for youth is so important. I'm just picturing, you know, some of these young leaders who will then go back, they're empowering them with things like international law. I can picture them fronting up to some politician in their home country who's, you know, going on about, oh, no, we couldn't do that. Well, actually, under international law, this section, we should be doing this. I think it'd be quite, I think it would raise quite a few eyebrows.
It's about
in a good way.
Totally, totally. And it's about educating people to ask for their human rights that they may not, like you were saying, that they may not even be aware that they have or that they're allowed to ask for or, in fact, demand, and getting it to come from a grassroots level. And when we've had Paula and Douglas from Kaleidoscope on the show in a number of times, they've always explained that there's no point going in as, you know, entitled Westerners and saying, you should be doing this, and wagging the finger. It's not going to get them anywhere.
Especially when it's the entitled Westerners, i.e. the British, Paul, I'm going to blame you.
I have to apologise at the beginning of each show, don't I?
We're all pointing at Paul right now.
With the sodomy laws, the British sodomy laws, yes.
The good old penal code.
That's right. As Jazz points out, the Pacific region has more than its fair share of Commonwealth countries, and the Commonwealth has, more than half of the Commonwealth still has quite significant anti-gay laws. And you know, criminalisation of same-sex relations. So, long way to go. Be nice, actually, to see if one of the young royals comes in when the Queen passes on. If that happened, if that would actually, you know, drive change a lot quicker, that'd be quite interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if that would necessarily...
Do you think there's too much of a structure around them to prevent...
There's too much of a firm around the royals, and they are not supposed to get involved in anything political at all.
I think it's safe to say that you know, the Duke of Cambridge and Prince Harry, and I think it's safe to say they probably would be quite socially liberal. Mm. Certainly Prince William is.
Outwardly socially liberal in order to speak up and say, hey, there should be...
I think it would be easier for Prince Harry... Because he's not
the next one.
No, not the next one.
Hmm.
He's the spare. So,
yes.
And there's now what, three people in front of him? No, including his father. There's four in front of him in the succession.
Yeah, so I think he's fairly safe now.
He's fine. Unless there's some disastrous plane crash or something, he's free to be a swinging bachelor. But yeah, I don't think necessarily that their influence would have much of an impact, because, as Kaleidoscope always say, about the local culture does take precedent. So trying to drive change in somewhere like Samoa or, you know, Fiji or something like that, it's just not going to work if the British royal family, or in fact any outsider, says, you know, I think you should do it this way.
Actually, saying that, though, I think if the Queen did say something, she's not going to, because that's the way she's been brought up. Because she is highly respected in a lot of those Commonwealth countries, not just because she's the monarch, but because...
Well, she's been there a long time.
Been there a long time, and has seen so many things and been through so many leaders, that what she says is actually taken on board by a lot of these countries.
It could sway some older people, perhaps, who identify with her and are perhaps, you know, her contemporaries.
I did also want to just give Kaleidoscope a bit of a pat on the back, because they... put together a stellar event, and they had US Special Envoy for LGBTI, it's Randy Berry, who we've spoken to before. They had former Justice Michael Kirby, Green Senator Janet Rice, Patrick Abood from SBS, Human Rights Council, a whole lot of groups that came on board with this. So being able to share so much knowledge and so many different ideas from, you know, to give access to young people to be able to ask questions and interact is just it was a really, really strong program, very impressive.
And I think taking it back to the young people that this is targeted at, knowing that these luminaries who have had a lot of experience and have been fighting the, you know, the good fight for so long, particularly someone like, say, Justice Michael Kirby, is very encouraging, like knowing that it's not just something that they feel within themselves that should be the way society is structured. The fact that there's these older people that have had a lot of experience saying, no, it can be this way, and this is a way that you can do it in your own home countries, I think that's fantastic.
And also the US Embassy, which sponsored the event, and as we know from a lot of the from the other shows that we've done, where I guess it's one of the hallmarks of the Obama administration, where the overseas embassies and ambassadors have been an instrument for driving change in other countries. So for that to happen even in Australia, I think it's impressive as well.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hi, this is Effie from Perra, Kenya. We are supporting gender and sexual minorities in Africa on the World Wide Web.
Few messages coming in on the Queen and the UK. Universities and London has changed significantly from the stuffy conservative Anglophobia of the past, which is good news. Another one. Trump is Tony Abbott with Malcolm Turnbull's money. Very drunk. Food for thought. Thank you for those messages.
Joy 94.9.
Got a couple of guests in the studio, which is always very nice. With us tonight, we have Andrew Thorpe and the big boss, Jed Gilbert. Big boss here at Joy President. And you're here, you've got the hardest sales job in the world, perhaps. You're telling us about the AGM.
We do. We have the annual general meeting coming up on Sunday for all our members. But I have to be honest with you guys. We have been a little bit naughty and we have come on your show under false pretenses.
Ooh.
And we have a special announcement to make.
Oh, you... But hang on, I've got questions lined up about the AGM.
Well, I'm sorry,
I wanted
you're going
to
have to wait. Now, we're going to see
shirts.
If we can get people in the studio to come in.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Because one of the biggest things every year at the AGM is, of course, the award ceremony. And this year, the board is pleased to announce that the World Wide Wave team have won the Adams Dobbs Broadcast Award for Broadcasting Excellence for 2016.
This is where we go speechless. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. So
about time.
So, yeah, the Broadcast Award is really for programs that have been excellent throughout the year. And you guys have been excellent for the last, what, 5-6 years, really? 2011 was when World Wide Wave started. Tom and Hikaru and Squirrel, of course, kicked
That's
it
right.
off.
And Squirrel still listens in.
Yes. So, Squirrel, if you're listening tonight,
congratulations. Yeah.
You know, World Wide Wave was really a bit of a journeyman across the Joy programming schedule. You travelled around the grid as much as you travelled around the globe.
We started at 11 o'clock at night.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a hard sell. But we got there.
You got there. And you've been at 7 o'clock for a few years now.
A couple of years now, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So, look, congratulations to everyone on the team. And look, I think for us at the board and JoyPack, Joy Programming Committee, which also has some input into this and provides some advice to the board, it was really looking back in particular at the aftermath of the Orlando events that happened in June, and your coverage of that was absolutely outstanding, and a big thank you to you and the team for that and everything else you've done over the year. It's really amazing if for the listeners and the fans of World Wide Wave that follow you on Facebook, I mean, you guys put out a lot of Facebook posts every day with news from around the world, and the amount of effort that you guys put in is second to none here at the station, because you guys, I'm assuming, are up late at night sometimes doing little pre-records and trying to catch people from around the globe.
To get the States.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure there's thousands of emails to guests around the world, trying to get them known about joy.
Get them involved.
We'd like to do South America more, but there's the problems with the time frames.
Now you have a couple of days to practice your acceptance speech.
Yes.
But
do you want to
practice now? Or?
This was your way of getting us to come to the AGM, wasn't it? Are you doing this to every show?
No, just you guys.
This is I think we're all blown away, and also there's a lot of other people. Sarah's not here, Damien's away, Mark works behind the scenes in our podcast, and just the team of people. As I said, it started before my time as well, with Squirrel Hikaru and Tom, who got things going. And yeah, look, it's a real joy. I think we really love telling people's stories, and particularly from countries that you wouldn't have even thought of. We don't even know. We have to do our own research to find out what's happening in the country, and you know, that's a part of the learning and part of the fun.
Well, I know for the board it was a really easy decision. It's been such a fantastic year for World Wide Wave. It just aligns with everything that we hope Joy to be. It aligns to our strategic plan and where we see ourselves in the world. It speaks to the excellent broadcasting. It is basically the Oscar that Joy gives out. It is the only award for the year around broadcast excellence, and it goes to you guys for your fantastic work. I know a whole team goes in to make this great radio, and we see that it's connecting. It's connecting with our listeners, not just here in Melbourne, but across the world. So a very special thanks. It's dear to my heart, the show that you do. So a special thanks from the board, from the Joy Programming Committee, and on behalf of the whole Joy community.
Wow. Thank you very much.
Jeez, great. Thank you.
And come along to the AGM on Sunday. You better
come along. Well, you better come. If you want the award and the flowers, you better come along on Sunday.
We do have one here ready, but so you can have that over for the next couple of days. But, yes, you all have to come to the AGM on Sunday here in the city to get your flowers.
This is the Adam Stubbs Award-winning World Wide Wave.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
This is Dr. Sean Cole from London College of Fashion. Some things go out of style, but World Wide Wave never does. You're on Joy 94.9.
And we're still quite blown away. Thank you, Florence. The message just coming. You guys are awesome. Love the show. So insightful and exciting. Take a bow. That we are. And also a bow to Jazz Dawson, Secretary and Director of Kaleidoscope Australia, who hosted the forum last week. You can find more about their work, Kaleidoscope Australia, on Facebook.
Thank you to all the messages on Facebook from Cecilia, Doug, Ishtar, Kuhn, Margaret, a heap more who've joined or interacted with us on our Facebook page. That's W3Joy on Facebook. And thank you for all the SMSs and emails. And our wonderful podcaster, Mark, without whom we wouldn't sound quite so polished in our podcast.
Our podcast.
And as always, a lovely Gordon at the front counter.
We will catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave, or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.